Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Alicia Sefanalalo, diffusement expert, and this is Comics Versus, a Lorehounds podcast.
And since this is a DC Universe episode, you know you're going to hear from me. I'm Jean, and I'm here to confess that I love watching terrible people and a terrible bird at least once a week and talking about it with Alicia and Aaron.
Aaron, that's me. I'm representing Radioactive Ramblings in today's tour of Earth 2. In Peacemaker Season 2, Episode 3, Another Rick Up My Sleeve.
And check out mine, Jean's Season 1 breakdown for a spoiler-free discussion of the show overall if you wandered in here by accident. But we've been breaking it down every week, and like the prior episodes, we're just going to get right into all the spoilers for this episode, plus anything else we want to bring up about DC movies, TV shows, books, comics, whatever. Before we get into the episode itself, though, we had some big news that just came out. We had a major announcement. Jean, do you want to fill us in?
Sure. Man of Tomorrow coming on July 9th, 2027. And Peacemaker will connect to this movie. So this is super exciting. I'm excited because it normally takes a while to get any sort of news about upcoming films, and to know that this is definitely like going to happen within the next year and a half is so awesome to know and to prepare for and to get excited about. And knowing that the show that we're watching now is going to somehow lead into it, that the possibilities are really endless. So this is super fun, super good stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chatter online. I watched they did those behind the scenes documentaries with the Superman DVD release, and there were definitely glimpses of Brainiac in them.
Oh,
yeah. Are you, Aaron? Are you familiar with Brainiac as a character from other things?
Not whatsoever. Tell me a little bit about him.
Okay, I think Sean can best fill you in.
Yeah. So, super intelligence, artificial, whatever you want to call them, AI, just one of Superman's major baddies. Different universes and stories have different origins to him, but just to know that he goes around the universe collecting knowledge, and he is intently interested in Kryptonian knowledge, especially the last Kryptonian, quote unquote. But there are stories where Superman is definitely surprised to learn that Brainiac has other Kryptonians locked up away in a glass. So, yeah, he's a major foil, major Superman villain, and is interested in preserving knowledge no matter what that takes.
He does turn up, Aaron. I know you said you got about one episode into Harley Quinn, but this is another character that does turn up in the latest season of Harley Quinn. And he was in season 2 of My Adventures of Superman, but that was a really different robotic version than you normally see. But that was cool to see a different take. So
interesting. All right. Well, now I'm looking forward to see what the DCU does with it. I always love a villain who leans into that brainy, knowledge-seeking side rather than just nefarious Lex Luthor purposes.
I'm glad that they're doing, if it is indeed Brainiac, which is showing, you know, like the major Superman villains, and we don't have to wait for that. So I'm very happy for that, because there's one major Superman villain that I think everyone is waiting for, which would be Darkseid. But, you know, to get all these others, Lex Luthor, supposedly, hopefully, Brainiac as well, that's really cool. And we're not just rushing into something with Darkseid, I think is awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how these all tie together, because we do know we have lanterns in the meantime. And obviously, we've already met one Green Lantern, and he's going to show up in the Lantern show with the two that you say are the more famous.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, more famous, but maybe more well-loved. More love.
I like that James Gunn and Nathan Fillion have turned the douchiness into a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, it's not a bug. It's not a bug. But I think amongst, you know, comic book readers, Guy Gardner is pretty, you know, high up there in the Green Lantern rankings as far as who people expect to see or would want to see, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all three of them are going to be in that Lantern show, but especially right. the other two. So it's going to be 8 episodes in early next year. And then we have Supergirl, which, I mean, I guess it sounds like Man of Tomorrow is going to more directly follow Superman, and Supergirl is going to be more a side quest territory situation based on Woman of Tomorrow.
I don't know, because they already set it up.
Yeah, they set it up, but I don't think we might see Superman in it for like a moment at the beginning and the end, but I think it's going to be mostly off planet.
Yeah.
The comics.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a Supergirl story. Mm-hmm. This is not connecting to what we've seen in, you know, Superman, right? This is going to be her self-contained story, definitely. I would hope. Yeah. I don't want that interconnectedness per se in the overall telling of the story of Supergirl. Right. Let her have her own thing.
Right. Right. I agree. And I think Clayface, so that's going to come out in June of next year. And then Clayface comes out in September of next year. And that's going to be more of a horror story done by Mike Flanagan, who's famous for like the Fall of the House of Usher and a bunch of Stephen King adaptations. So I'm really excited for that. But I don't know. We'll see if that ties into the rest at all. It doesn't need to. And then we don't know what other projects are coming along when. Right. So. I don't know, Man of Tomorrow, big announcements. It could bring all of these things together or just be Superman 2.
Hmm. The CW Supergirl has a very special place in my heart, so I'm going to be judging the Supergirl show to high standards.
I like that show. I like that show a lot, actually. Yeah.
I have to watch all the CW shows. I'm actually really excited about it. But
yeah, some of them were really Supergirl. Good.
Hmm. Yeah, I would say Supergirl is definitely top of the list for me out of all the CW shows. People really love The Flash, but I think Supergirl easily clears The Flash.
The only one that I out of those CW shows that I really didn't gravitate toward was Arrow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But everybody seems to really like Arrow, but except for me.
I took a step back and I'm started with Smallville, so I've got a while to go before I get there. But but we're here to talk about today's episode, another Rick up my sleeve, and interestingly, probably not the Rick most people were expecting from that title. We're talking Rick Flagg Jr. rather than Senior, and so the tagline is: as Peacemaker receives praise as a hero, he uses the alternate dimension to deepen his bond with Harcourt. Different hardcore, that's cheating. Meanwhile, Economos faces criticism for the mission's failure. So, Aaron, what did you think of this episode overall?
Man, I thought it was a great episode. Learning that Harcourt and Rick were a thing in our main universe too was just mind-blowing. It connected so many puzzle pieces that seemed to be missing from the whole Chris and Harcourt picture. And additionally, the general public in this alternate universe, they look a certain way, and they also don't seem to have a problem with Chris and Keith killing people. So that's something that I took note of, and I think the other shoe is going to drop. I've been saying that for 3 episodes, that the other shoe is going to drop. But
next episode, the other shoe is going to drop.
Yeah.
John, what do you think overall?
I thought this was a strong episode, actually. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I liked it better than episode two so far, but I thought this was really great to get a sort of a lay of the land. And I feel like we've all spoken about how what we think this alt dimension is going to be, that mm-hmm. is not going to be all peachy. And I feel strongly, even more strongly now, having seen it, you know, like, where the black people? Where we at? I'm looking all around. I don't see nobody. Where are we at? You know what I mean? So I want to know.
I mean, it's no Asian people, no Latin, no Native American.
Doesn't seem like it. So we want to see exactly what's going on in this alt dimension. Who are the trio really, right? To get a real sense of what's going on. And like you said, they had no problem with the killing. The Sons of Liberty, we're talking about, you know, corrupt government. So, yeah, this is an interesting turn of events to see how our Chris deals with the reality that maybe this is what his father was trying to get to, you know, and to have it actually be there for him. I wonder how he's going to grapple with that.
Yeah, this whole best dimension ever. Well, first of all, how could it be best dimension without Eagly? It just does not compute. I mean, I think it's, I love that the show, it's hard to look at each episode on its own because I love the show is like building this bigger story. And I know all of these moving pieces are going to come together and you can see them lining up at the end of this episode that I think next episode is going to blow the door off things, which is kind of a pun if you know the title of the next episode. But this was really fun to see the alternate dimension, but obviously I was affected going in by my suspicions. So right. I was very much searching the crowds and like, and just reading into the things that were not shared, you know, particularly about this terrorist group.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see it all twisted on its head. And I feel kind of very sad for Chris, but also it's not cool if your Amelia doesn't want to be with you to go and steal the other you's Amelia. Like that is some kind of creepy shit.
Yes. Totally. Yes. And it's going to, you know, you said something last episode when we talked about how is he going to slip up, right? What is he going to say or do that alerts the alt dimension folks that this is not their peacemaker, it's not their Chris? And I mm-hmm. thought it was the moment when he said, you know, he was hugging Hawkcore and said, best dimension ever.
I've heard, yeah. Like, she didn't seem to respond.
Yeah, and I said, we didn't see her response to that. And because she works for Argus, which I'm mm-hmm. assuming is the same type of organization that's in the regular universe. So I wonder if him saying that while, you know, embracing her is something that's going to, you know, raise her antennas as to who is this person who is clearly much different from the person that I, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he must be suspiciously different. It's true, because just everything from the fact he called her hardcore to just the way he is acting like a different person, which to be fair, he is a different person, but he's a different person in two different ways. Like, I don't think that this Chris was too far off from who he used to be, but we've already seen him go through a lot of growth. So
that's a good point.
I can't believe this episode was, well, I say it was only 38 minutes, but, you know, that feels like a feast after Murderbot episode lengths. but it absolutely flew by. It's the highest rated episode so far, but yeah, that's, I don't know. I feel like there's always a recency bias and it falls, but it's considerably higher rated. Does that surprise you, Aaron?
A little bit. On the one hand, it makes sense. This episode was a little bit punchier and gave us a little bit more of a concrete definition of what this other universe is. But I think the past two episodes, and especially the first episode, just did so much more work to set up the characters and get this season really going that I would rate that episode much higher than this one.
Okay. Okay. So if you had to rank the three episodes so far, how would you rank?
Probably in order of release, 1, 2, 3. Being 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
Okay. I might agree with that. I don't know. I could really be persuaded to go anyway. What about you, Sean?
Oh, man. Right now, as we sit and I'm in front of this mic, don't ask me tomorrow if it's the same, but I think I would go 2, 3, 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all episodes were written by James Gunn, and this one was, again, directed by Greg Mottola. We talked about him last time. But do you think, I mean, I think that this was a fun directing gig for him because with the two different universes, you know, notice there's like different color palettes and the characters have to be different versions of themselves. Yeah, what do you most hope to see before we obviously have it all blown up by racism? What do you most hope to see in Earth 2?
Oh, man. I wonder if there are other heroes and and super villains. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, you know, this is like a, what was that? There was a show on Amazon, where the Nazis won.
Man in the High Castle.
Right.
Man in the High Castle, yes. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's that. I want to see if it's a that type of interpretation of that story.
Right. Because wasn't there people, I've heard people talking about an Earth X from the comics, which is an alternate reality where Hitler won basically same as Man in the High Castle, but the DC version.
Just a terrible reality.
Yeah. So that can very well be what we're dealing with here.
And then I forget who, where I saw this, but there was a post where someone marked that the way that they said Bloodhaven.
Oh, Bloodhaven, what's a German way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, so is that a hint to... And that's something I didn't pick up at the time. You know, it just flew right over my head the way they pronounced the name of the city. So are they pronouncing it that way because of this alter history that occurred where the allies, the forces of good lost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it seems certain now. I hope that they reveal that next episode.
Yeah.
And then we just get to follow the chaos that follows from that. But also I was thinking, like, we've had all these subtle Superman references, even in this other dimension. We saw, for example, that Mighty Crabjoy's billboard. And I wonder, is there a Superman in this dimension? Does the public know if so? Mm. Or would he be pushed into revealing himself? I mean, maybe I'm getting my hopes too high for these apparently crazy last three episodes, but
I think that if there's an alternate universe Superman, there wouldn't be a trio anymore. I think that the trio would be taken out.
Yeah.
Or thrown in prison.
Yeah.
Something.
Good point. Well, on that note, let's hold our thoughts here and take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to get into the episode itself. See you on the other side.
Another Rick up my sleeve, 3 years earlier, in a DCU flashback to just before the events of 2021's The Suicide Squad, we find out that, in the DCU, the dark sorceress goddess Enchantress still possessed scientist Dr. June Moore, whom Rick Flagg Jr. was cheating on with Amelia Harcourt. before he left for his fateful mission to Corto Maltese, where he was killed by Peacemaker.
Hot gas.
That took me back. Like, I turned it on and I saw that and I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? Like, those are the words that came out of my mouth. It was like, oh shit, what the fuck? What's going on here? It was like immediate reaction to the scene of Hardcore and Ric Flag Jr. It was like a visceral reaction of like, what is going on here? And that is such good stuff.
Yeah, because I was surprised that, you know, it was like, oh, this is actually in the DCU, not Earth 2, not that alternate reality. This happened in the main reality. So interestingly, 3 years ago, which is roughly around the time when Superman outed himself in the DCU.
Right, right.
So, Aaron, have you said you have watched The Suicide Squad. Did you watch Suicide Squad?
I did. That was a big year for people my age to have dressed up as the Jared Leto Joker for Halloween.
Were you one of them?
I was not one of them. I didn't personally feel any affinity with him. I was kind of always on the Jared Leto hate train when it came to his Joker interpretation.
You and James Gunn. Yes, yes.
But I thought that it was a pretty good movie for me at that time. It was entertaining. Definitely The Suicide Squad was a big step up from whatever they were doing earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, I just rewatched all of these before this season to just to prep. And I'm glad that I did go back and watch Suicide Squad. This is a 2000s. Yeah, it's confusing. Anyone who's at home confused. In 2016, Suicide Squad is a film with David Ayer directed. And then 2021, James Gunn made The Suicide Squad, which is kind of a soft reboot already. So it's not surprising that James Gunn is like, my own movie is mostly canon. Right. The other guy's movie, let me undermine it real quick here, because that that 2016 movie is where we saw June Moon, who in the DCEU, you know, the Cavillverse, was played by Cara Delevingne, and AKA, so June Moon is a scientist who's possessed by this sorceress goddess called Enchantress, and they share a body, basically, and that's why he was saying, you know, if I break up with her, although, okay, so two things. One, Enchantress died at the end of Suicide Squad, and so June Moon was no longer superpowered. So obviously that didn't happen. She didn't die. I'm assuming he's just erasing the entire movie, like that Task Force X mission with Will Smith and all and Jared Leto. That didn't happen, period.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that not being part of it.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm even trying to remember what caused it. It was because Superman died, right? So obviously that didn't happen in the DCU.
He really hates Jared Leto.
I mean, yeah.
What? I would love to know the tea about this. Because this man is committed to erasure of Jared Leto. Erasure of Jared Leto. This is wild. This is, yeah. This is some super villain shit right here. I want to know.
I mean, but yeah, it makes sense. If Superman didn't die, that whole thing didn't happen. And
right.
But Rick was dating June, but then Enchantress is still infesting June. But then, okay, Rick, here the question is, what happened in the DCEU? Did Rick Flag fall out of love with June Moon as soon as she lost Enchantress? Because he's like, not as spicy anymore.
I mean,
that's kind of my headcanon at this point. What do you think?
No, I think what you said about the erasure of that entire plot and timeline is what he's saying. So that movie is gone. Anything that happened in that movie doesn't matter anymore.
What's interesting, June was not even mentioned in The Suicide Squad, even though that technically was DCEU.
Right.
And they mentioned the mission overall. You know, we had Boomerang back, things like that. But
I mean, but now he's running the studio. He's like, all right, I can use this character if I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the way that I want to.
But it's interesting that Enchantress, I don't think, like, why would she care if her human is in a relationship with this guy who is helping to jail her, basically. So, but if she did care and Peacemaker killed Rick Flagg, is she also going to find out and come for revenge? And will she be played by Cara Delevingne?
Good question.
Do you have any hopes, dreams about an Enchantress reappearance, Aaron?
I hope she comes back with the same actor. I have been enjoying James Gunn's interpretation of this DC universe where he feels comfortable pulling from past projects whenever he feels like that's what's right for the project or if that person is good for the role. More power to him for that. But yeah, I'm hoping that they keep some things the same. I don't need an explanation on why it's the same actor or why not.
Yeah. I think he might do a recast, but just because he didn't want her involved in the Suicide Squad. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you guys think of? Who would you rather be friends with? The Rick Flag from DCU or the Rick Flag from Earth 2?
Rick Flag from Earth 2. He would provide endless entertainment while we're hanging out. knocking over trash cans, peeping over cubicles. This guy is just such a loser, and I love him for it.
Oh, I hope Vigilante meets him and is like, what a dork. I mean, what do you think? Okay, if you go to the DCU version, did you get from that opening, do you think that they were in love, Harcourt and Rick Flagg Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Or finding their way to that, yes.
Yeah. I don't know that Harcourt would admit to that, but I certainly think that those feelings are there.
Yeah, no way she would admit to it.
It's interesting that in the other universe, she clearly prefers Chris.
Yes.
But obviously that's a different woman with different experiences dealing with a very different version of, I mean, but she
both
prefers,
characters.
Yeah, but she prefers the douche over, I mean, yeah, okay. Rick Flagg Jr. in the other universe is a bit intense.
No, but you know, if you look at I don't know if she prefers the douche, but it looks like she prefers the one who's more type A.
Okay.
In their world, I can imagine, you know, Peacemaker being held up as the specimen of masculinity. The Uber. Alpha. Right?
The leather pants, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, comfortable enough to wear leather pants. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's, I don't know if she prefers the douchiness, but that whole scene when I was comparing Rick Flagg from the alt dimension to Rick Flagg from the main dimension and Peacemaker and how she was talking with our Chris and saying all the things that, like, oh, don't get, you know, you can't get mad at me because I'm driving or I forgot what. It's just like the most inane things that she was saying that someone who is very insecure and very macho is the word. I don't know any other way to describe it. Like, know your place type of shit. She was describing that alt dimension Chris. And it seems as if that's what she was attracted to. Not, you know, like his other type of
his heart.
Yeah. Like this masked man. You know what I mean? He's a man's man. He takes care. That's the vibe that I got. And that's why she was on the elevator, and you just got a different vibe from Rick Flagg Jr. in that, you know, universe. He's more Clark Kent than Superman.
I mean, I think it is because in the other universe, Rick Flagg Jr. has June, and, you know, he's kind of only half in with her, and that maybe that scares her less. And in this universe, yeah, obviously he made himself very attractive, as I said. Yeah, I don't know. My question is, I wonder if June exists in this world and if she'll turn up. Also, I love that they corrected that Rick Flagg is from the Army and Jarhead's a Marine, so he's not a Jarhead. All right, since we're talking about the other dimension, Aaron, do you want to set us up for the best dimension ever?
Absolutely. Chris wakes up in what James Gunn is calling Earth 2, the other dimension. He reassures his worried altered dimensional brother and then leaves to pursue that universe's Amelia Harcourt. Chris visits her at the Argus offices to talk, much to the chagrin of a very much alive Rick Flagg Jr., whom she is dating. Along the way, he is cheered on by crowds of adoring fans, and he gets to be his best self, taking down a group of terrorists who try to blow up a government building, leaving him pretty sure that this is the best dimension ever.
Yeah. So, Earth 2, Sean, from the comics, is that referred to a specific Earth, or is it just like we're saying this is the second most important dimension in this story?
Well, damn, Alicia, I wish I had done the homework. But no, but in DC Comics, at different points, there have been multiple variations, multiple universes. So Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3, up to I don't know how many Earths there were in the continuity. It was very, it's not this. Like, that Earth 2 was the home of classic Superman. Like, let's say Golden Age Superman and those heroes to grow over time. So that was Earth 2. So you would find, you know, like Superman leaps over tall buildings. That's Superman.
Right.
If that makes sense. So, but each Earth was always a different variation of the heroes and villains.
Right.
But it wasn't this Earth.
Right.
This Earth 2 that James Gunn is calling, this alt dimension. That's why I want to see if there are other heroes and villains, superpowered individuals, metas in that world. Because that could give you a glimpse into, you know, what comic book stories he may be pulling from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. It seems like I know the comics obviously far better than I do. I don't really at all. But it doesn't. It seems like he is more picking pieces from here and there and mashing them together, rather than adapting specific arcs, except for Supergirl?
I think so. And I think that's, the multiverse in DC has, you know, spawned so many variations of the characters that you can literally go through comics over 40, 50 years and pull stories that people would think, you know, when did this happen? This didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That things like this didn't occur, but they're in the story. You know what I mean? Because they were able to tell that that was the beauty of having all of these multiple Earths, that they were able to tell different stories with these same characters.
Right, right, exactly.
So I'm sure he's pulling the threads from all of these comics and trying to form a cohesive DC universe out of them.
Right.
Which is what the original comic books did as well. They try to condense everything into one continuity, into one Earth.
And Aaron, you and I were talking before we recorded about Peacemaker's fighting prowess that, you know, he can turn anything into a weapon. Yeah, what did you think of this week's fight scenes?
James Gunn has gotten very creative with the kills on this show. I thought season one was a little bit gruesome with the butterflies and everything else that they were doing in terms of the violence. This episode felt like a return to form for James Gunn, certainly. I have to call out in specific the pencil kill when he comes down from above and just absolutely mashes that guy's brains with the pencils. That was so nasty.
And then lifting him up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you were saying that this is, other than Eagly, this is like the first real fight scene we got.
Yeah, this season. Is the first real human fight scene that we've got. And now we just need the team up, like you were saying, between Eagly and Peacemaker. We need them to mess some stuff up together.
I mean, it's nice to see Peacemaker at the top of his game, you know, doing something. He just felt really good when he disarmed that bomb at the end, even though his brother almost ruined it by sending a flaming helicopter into the building. But what did you think, Sean, of, you know, when he drove past on his peace cycle, or what is it called? Peace cycle? He drove past the little boy sobbing, like, Peacemaker, I love you. He's like, that's a bit much.
I thought the same thing. Like, kid, that's a lot right there. Calm down, kid. Calm down.
I wonder if like Taylor Swift has to say that to people. It's a bit much, honey.
Yeah, you're pouring it on a little thick there, kid. Relax. Relax.
I can guarantee John Cena has had a few of those interactions in real life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I thought while I was watching this episode that might have been his idea to put that in to kind of poke fun at people who act like that around him.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, yeah, that was definitely poking fun at broader, like, the way people behave towards celebrities. Like, yeah. Okay, thank you. Love the love. Take it down a notch. So we know this group that we saw him fight is called Sons of Liberty, which is from, in the DC comics, they're mostly in Superman comics, Sean?
Yes. Yes, you're right about that. Yeah, so I'm interested to see how what they, because there are, you know, when you just said something that I didn't think about how, where James Gunn is pulling from the stories, like, it gets to the point where you kind of want to say you know, but you don't know, if that makes sense, right? So I want to learn more about what he's actually getting to. That's why I want to go back to Earth 2 to see if this is really a Nazi, you know, run world, because that would be, that would make sense. That would make sense, because in some versions, the Sons of Liberty, that's what they're fighting against, not necessarily Nazis, but they are freedom fighters, right?
Right.
They are trying to make a better world of where they live, a better country for where they live. So yeah, I want to see if that remains what he does with this group of individuals in this world.
Yeah. I love the Jerry, the guy who blew himself up running and tripping.
Oh gosh.
I think he's named after Jerry Ordway, created the group in the comics. So that's a nice nod of that. But they are named after, the comics version is named after a real historical group. They are, I mean, definitely if you studied American history, you learned about them. You can see them, like, they play a lot of plots in Outlander. For example, the series, they're known for, they were tar and feather people who were against them. They are, one of their splinter groups was behind the Boston Tea Party. So they were, in some ways, they were the freedom fighters who were fighting against taxation without representation.
Right.
And you know, it comes down to, that fine line between freedom fighter and terrorist, because this group we saw on this show, they might be fighting Nazis, but they were ready to kill a bunch of people, to blow up a whole block. And apparently they did that last week at Housing and Development, and this week at the DMV. Like, right. The poor people, they have to work at the DMV. That's punishment enough.
And that's the thing, too, for me, was like, you know, like in the comics, it's they're fighting against what they feel is a U.S. gone astray, like further away mm-hmm. from the constitutional principles of what the country was founded upon, whatever that means, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Whatever that means. So that's their raison d'être. So it's interesting to me if they're taking the same group of ideas, you know, against the Nazis, allegedly, but they're blowing up a HUD, you know, they're blowing up a HUD building, urban development building, they're blowing up a DMV. It doesn't seem that they're striking at the heart of the, you know, oppressive regime that they want to overthrow. It seems like they're basically killing, you know, civilians.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So
that's, yeah.
What does that leave these Sons of Liberty? Are they going to be a group of people that I root for?
Yeah. I mean, because you know, there are definitely groups in the real world where I root for their cause, but I do not root for the way they go about it. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I am a little bit wary of any group that has a name like the Sons of Liberty. It's usually very misleading and problematic.
Who are you liberating?
Yeah, and what are we liberating? Why are we taking over the DMV? What are we really accomplishing here? This whole group, I don't know if I can trust them, but I don't know if I can trust the rest of the world either. So was it worth it for Chris to have killed them and not asked them any questions? I kept waiting for one of them to give him a little bit more information. Like, no, stop. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But we didn't end up getting it this episode.
I suppose it was a literal countdown in his defense. But yeah, I mean, I wonder, we know that they had demands, but we don't know what their demands were yet, other than, you know, stop being oppressive governments, which, if what we think is true, would be our stance as well, I think. Mm-hmm, only right. I think we'd hopefully be less willing to kill people to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, so that explosive, it's called Cephalololol. It's not, this is a made up, this is not a real thing. It doesn't exist in our world. It doesn't exist as far as I can tell in DC Comics. So I'm wondering what that's going to turn out to be, because why use a ridiculous name like that rather than just like, I don't know, dynamites or atoms or whatever.
Was this maybe the easiest bomb diffusement in TV history?
Yes, it was.
But also it makes sense. You disconnect the circuits and
disconnect all the circuits and then it fizzes out, like literally. I just laughed out loud when that happened. Like, what am I watching here? It's like Bugs in the Roadrunner. Like, where did we get this from? Acme?
Baby Groot could have done that.
Yeah.
Do you think that there could be someone behind their activities organizing them?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah? Do you have any thoughts on who it would be?
Agent Liberty, who's like the leader in the regular comic books.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I wonder if it would turn out to be a connected to, like, what if it was, no, it couldn't be Rick Flagg Sr. because he wouldn't put his son in danger. What if it was? What if Agent Fleury is a freedom fighter in this dimension?
Oh God! Does he still have bird blindness? That's the question.
I mean, I suppose if it's genetic, he would.
Yeah. Well, at least he doesn't have any meta ducks to fight in this universe.
I mean, I feel like Eagly is a regular eagle. Yes, Economos is right. But I do feel like he is a meta duck also. Yeah.
Eagly is not regular. There's nothing about Eagly that is regular. Eagly is not a regular bird. There's no way. There's no way. I'm not saying Eagly is like crypto, but Eagly is not regular.
I just can't believe, I suppose, like, just the fact that Chris, every time he goes over there, he's not like, a part of me wants to know how Chris found Eagly in the first place. And maybe he just knows, like, well, if my brother didn't die, I wouldn't have bonded with this eagle. But I'm also like, anytime an episode starts with a flashback to Chris meeting Eagly, I'm going to be worried that Eagly is going to die in that episode.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I won't stand for any Eagly abuse in this season. James Gunn will be getting a strongly worded letter from me if that happens.
Yeah. I mean, he's aware that he's going to piss off the entire world if he kills either Eagly or Vigilante, but doesn't mean he won't do it. Okay, what do we think about Amelia or Melia Harcourt and how she compares to her other dimensional version? Like, this Harcourt is a dog person, and our Harcourt, Eagly, apparently hates her, but I guess Eagly hates most people. But it just makes me think the whole thing about being a dog person is, you know, Hitler was also a dog person.
Oh, gosh.
Could be.
I don't know. John, what do you think of alt-dimension Harcourt, Melia? We were questioning whether she could fight.
Yeah, it just seems to me like the whole scene with her, with Chris, Rick Flagg Jr., that entire backdrop landscape seemed to be very gender role oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It just felt weird. Like something off, mm-hmm. right? And when she's talking to Chris on the bench or whatever, all there, it just felt there's something that's not just not right, and it just felt tangible to me. Like I can't tell you what it is, but it just felt that way, you know. And her, she's really much different from the hardcore and our own universe and the regular universe, because she seems to be more in tune with her feelings, right? Which is something that might be encouraged for more women to do in a Nazi regime. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you get in touch with your feelings while we go kill people, while the men go kill people. Like, it felt very strange to me, because she was surprised that Chris had done any sort of introspective, you know, work, like he worked on himself. Like, that was a big shock to her. Where she seemed to be more at ease talking about her feelings, she was generally shocked that he was willing and able to do some self-reflection on the harm that he has done. So, which is really different from the Amelia and the, you know, DCU universe.
The Amelia in our DCU universe is kind of like a raw, open wound. And I have the feeling that the Amelia in this universe might not have experienced the same hardships. Like, maybe Chris cheating on her is the worst thing that's happened to her. It's interesting that she was cheated on in Earth 2, but in Earth 1... she was the other woman.
Yeah. It's very true.
Aaron, do you think Argus looked the same or different in the two dimensions, the offices themselves?
I don't know. It looked a little bit different, but that could just be my brain doing things. I don't know why they would go to the trouble of doing two different office sets unless there was something really important there. But what really stuck out to me in this episode was when the two of them are talking about, oh, let's go out and we'll chat somewhere else. And then they immediately go on a whole date together. I thought that was pretty funny.
Just what, like leave work and...
Yeah.
It looked nicer, I thought, than we've seen. We've mostly seen like the Belle Reve corners of Argus. And this looks like a nice, I don't know, middle of the road office.
Yeah, it looked like any office in anywhere in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it felt like to me. Like, it's like a sitcom office.
Almost. Yeah.
Like, the office office, the show office, you know?
Right.
That's what it felt like. So it felt familiar, but again, just the whole vibe felt like off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that we have Peacemaker's brother Keith back. I think that the actor is doing a really great job in like making him warm, but also a bit sus. Like he clearly cares about his brother, you know, and seems worried about his whatever was going on with Chris and the pills. We saw the whole drawer full of pills. Apparently Chris was disappearing a lot, so obviously we're going to learn more about this other Chris. But then we see him, like, he takes down a helicopter and turns it into a fireball that nearly goes into the building his brother just stopped from blowing up. So just to complete, how is this the main hero? Because if that almost happened that time, then it reminds me of that part does remind me of The Boys, you know, where just the we're posing to be the heroes, but actually the carelessness can lead to worse damage.
Such a stark contrast between having just watched Superman, where you have a hero that goes around saving squirrels in the middle of a city collapsing, and then you shift over to this place where civilian life is basically nothing to the trio.
Hmm.
And that's exactly where I went. I thought about that, like, but I didn't think about it in terms of Superman. I thought about it in terms of the Justice Gang. They clearly didn't care when they met the kaiju. They, if Soup wasn't there, countless people would have died.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Countless people would have died. So I think that's more of a Soup's thing. Like, if there's no Soup, like, to balance this out, to show compassion with this great power that we have, where does that leave people with great power?
Wow. It is interesting that we keep seeing the Lord Tech logo on DCU stuff, but we haven't really seen the logo of what the technology is in the other universe.
Right.
Makes me wonder if there's some twist to that. And someone pointed out, I saw a picture online that the flags on the desks were rolled up suspiciously, so we can't see the full flags.
Oh, I didn't peep that.
Interesting.
Huh. No, yeah. Someone else, I saw it in a post online.
I'll do my rewatch tonight and see if I could pick those things out.
Okay, what do you guys think about what Keith said to Chris? He said, I love you no matter what. And said, basically, you can tell me everything, anything. Obviously, I don't think Chris can really tell him, actually, I killed your real brother and I'm a stand-in. But do you think he can tell him everything else?
No. No. Yeah. No. 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 Absolutely not. No.
I'd have to agree. I think even the knowledge that he's from an alternate dimension, done. You're dead. It's over.
But what about also like his, like, can he tell him that he is bisexual? Can he tell him that? No, nothing.
None of it.
Do you think he's going to fall for it and tell him things that are, it's going to cause problems?
Chris isn't too, the light bulb isn't always on with our Chris.
I mean, this is not Brainiac, but I think he's got a solid enough head on his shoulder when he's not drinking or doing, you know.
Really?
Turning his brain off with substances. Okay. Right. He's definitely looks a lot better in comparison with this other universe, Chris, which we talked a bit about his choice in clothing. I love, he compared it to Kardashian furniture.
Yes.
And Keith was like, who? Which I'm fine with there being a universe where people don't know who the Kardashians are. It was funny. Chris did, in fact, not remember any of the stuff that he overheard while he was drunk the night before, but that's fair. Right. That fits. I'm actually kind of glad. Yeah. No Augie this episode, but he was mentioned. One other question, Chris related, that he just a thing, he doesn't know what the person was talking about. There's that security guard at Argus who said, how did Mr. Grant's tests turn out? And he was like, oh, very positive. He's like, oh, I was hoping it wasn't cancer. Who, obviously Chris doesn't know who Mr. Grant is. I wonder if we're supposed to. I looked it up, and the one character that I found in the DC with the last name Grant was Ted Grant, aka yeah. Wildcat. Do you think that could be anything?
I don't know, because he's part of the authority.
He's
part of the JSA. He's, you know, yeah, there's, so I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, we know that they wanted to set up an authority thing. We've already met the engineer, so that would be the second authority character we met.
And he is in Earth 2.
Hmm.
The original Earth 2 in DC Comics. So
I wonder if he's like buddies with Chris in this universe. Maybe they're drinking buddies or something.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we get back, we're going to check back in on the DCU. The DCU versions of Harcourt, Economos, Autobio, and Vigilante wake up hungover at Harcourt's house. Economos checks in at Argus and learns about the raid on Peacemaker's house gone wrong, and that Agent Fleury has now put together a new task force to hunt down Peacemaker and send him back to jail, take his interdimensional technology, and kill Eagly. Chris returns to his home dimension to figure out his next moves, unaware that Argus is about to break down his door. So, yeah, we got a lot of new vigilante lore. Aaron, what was your favorite vigilante bit this episode?
Oh my gosh, there were so many good ones, but the one that really just went above and beyond all the others was him taking Economos's pants off in the bathtub during the post-credit scene. It just never clicked to me that that was even an option when they were talking about it during the main episode. Economos says, why would you do that? Why would you wash my pants? My assumption was his pants were already off and Vigilante found them, washed them, whatever, got the Bud Light off of him. But no, he just went for it, took him off and gave him a little kiss on the forehead.
Yeah, after he bonked his head by ripping them off. He's kind of a caretaker. You know, we've been calling him a sociopath a lot, but he definitely feels fiercely protective of the people who he deems in his circle and his tribe.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
But it does make me wonder again about his relationship with his mother. Where does he get this intense? Yeah.
There was an offhanded comment made during season one where he implies that his family is dead, but it seems like that is just kind of the actor was riffing. Yeah.
Yeah. James Gunn said that was a credit scene and the credit scenes from season one are not canon.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. I love animals. So he's a spider fan now. And he likes also owls, dolphins, manta rays, and crows. And those are all, dolphins. I don't know. I have a weird thing about dolphins are like.
You waited out by dolphins.
I had an experience with a dolphin.
Oh, okay.
It's a peacemaker worthy experience with a dolphin.
Oh, no.
Who was masturbating in front of me against the glass.
Dolphin?
And, yes. Oh, no. And apparently this is a thing. They are very sexual creatures who even sometimes perform sexual assault. So,
well, that is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing, because now I don't know how I'm going to go to sleep later tonight with this story in my fucking head.
I mean, my story is real, unlike the crow ship story, but crows are very smart. They are very, very smart. Fascinatingly so.
Smart enough to stab a crow with a paperclip.
They don't have thumbs. But they they could do it, I guess. They could figure it out.
They haven't done it, but they could.
They do, like they'll do things like take a trash can lid and use it as a sled on a roof, you know? Like, they are very, very smart and use tools.
Right.
Spiders are cool. I love the vigilante, again, just very bad at spider facts. Like, very confident, but just very wrong. Are you an animal person, Aaron?
I am. I'm a big fan of dogs, cats. I always try to get to the zoo whenever I can. It's always a fun time, especially now that the zoo in DC got pandas back recently. We were without pandas for a while, but yeah, always been an animal lover. I was slightly terrified of animals when I was a kid, but now I would say I've become buddies with the animal kingdom.
Okay.
Did you not grow up with pets?
I had a dog when I was very, very young that died when I want to say I was about 4 years old. I was terrified of this dog for no good reason and retained that fear until I was probably late elementary school, early middle school, when I finally realized, why am I afraid of dogs and cats? This doesn't make any sense.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes they can be scary. They can be scary.
Yeah.
So, Jean, would you, if Vigilante came up to you and wanted to tell you some owl and spider facts, would you fall into the Adrian vortex?
I would not.
No, you would shut it down?
I'm walking away.
Yeah?
Aww. Yeah.
I would. I mean, these seem like fun conversations.
Not to me. No. Definitely no. No. That's going to be a hard pass.
I love that Hardcore knows the way to get rid of him is to make him think that his friend might be hurt, and he goes running. So he's a good friend. Scary. Yeah. Murderer. Good friend.
But a good friend nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, so Hardcore insists nothing happened between her and Chris. And Otto Bio grills her about what happens on the party boat and tells her to go for it. Do you think... I'm beginning to think maybe they didn't hook up, but Chris thought there was a moment, and there was, and he made a move, and she freaked out.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Seems to track with both of these characters.
I think they hooked up.
Yeah?
I think they hooked up, and she's horrified by it because of him killing Rick Fletcher.
Right, Rick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Who, whether or not she was in love with him, apparently they were best friends. So it's going to hurt regardless. Yeah. I love Autobio because she just like flat out tells Hardcore. She's like, you're the most fucked up person I know. Well, fine. Except for Economos and Vigilante.
Which is not saying much.
But I do think she has become worse than our universe's Chris, even though he's doing very unhealthy things right now. Yeah.
I agree.
I think our Chris is at least in a state of growth and trying to improve on himself, and Hardcore just hasn't reached that point.
Yeah. And also getting worse is Argus's priorities. Agent Fleury to Meadows, first of all, he insists that Economos lied to him about the Metaduck. We all saw the last episode. We know he told him it was an eagle, but... this is what happened.
Blame him. I told him about the eagle.
You told me it was a duck.
The fuck I did. Why would I say an eagle is a duck?
A practical joke. Trying to use my disability against me. Is it funny? Yeah. Very. But you almost got titties killed.
It's serious stuff.
Oh, Flurry. Oh. I need more Flurry.
Yeah.
Not less.
Yeah, we had too little of him this episode, but I guess he's going to be a big player next episode. And we're starting to see, yeah, Erin, you pointed out that Sasha kind of revealed part of her personality when she told Flurry not to make jokes. And now she's still very extremely serious. She's like, don't dude me. This is serious.
Yes, she's definitely not the boss you want to joke around with.
Definitely not. But I want Flurry to be the DCU's Coulson. Just put them in everything.
Yeah.
Put them everywhere. Put them everywhere.
We have Ponyboy is the only one of that team from last week who is still on his feet. The rest are in the hospital, so he's still with the team. And we finally meet Michael Roker's character, Red St. Wild, who gets, well, first of all, I need his story. Why does he hate eagles so much? And how many other eagles will suffer in his quest to take down Eagly?
And who is he?
And who is like, he?
Dressed as a native, like American. Like, who is this guy? Where did they find this guy at?
Yeah.
Like, is he cosplaying story? Or is he, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I felt.
Yeah, or has he been through some experiences?
Yeah, I felt like this is some guy cosplaying here. So I want to know, like, how serious should I take this person? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so far we know Economos definitely doesn't take him seriously. We have this whole exchange.
He's going to kill Eagly?
You can't take chances.
Ain't no one kills an eagle more good than me.
Yeah, that's nothing to be proud of. In what fucking country is hunting eagles even allowed?
For the next few hours? Hours. First, we kill the bird.
And any other eagle in the vicinity?
No, just the bird in the house. Then we do our best to take Smith alive.
I'm sorry, our best?
I know he's your buddy, Economos, but if he really is in possession of a dimensional portal, he's not going to see the outside of a prison for the rest of his life. Are you in or not?
I'm not. Fuck this.
Then you're fired.
I'm in, but I don't want to work with some piece of shit eagle killer.
Oh, come on, man.
You don't have to. I'm partnering you up with our new agent. Rip Jagger.
Who the fuck is Rip Jagger?
Hey, fatty.
Fuck!
So Rip Jagger is judo master from last season who definitely still has a grudge against Economos. This is such a stacked group. Like, I want to see more of Flurry, but also I want to see, I'm so excited we have Judo Master back. I want to see what Red St. Wild's whole shtick is.
I've been waiting for Judo Master. He was one of my favorite characters last season. Just hilarious. The way that they write him is just perfect. James Gunn really knows how to play up a character, and this is a great example of that.
But I have a question. Like, why would Argus employ the guy who sided with the aliens last time?
Yeah, that's... I mean, the guy is... I don't know. He worked with Peacemaker before. He knows this crew intimately.
Hmm.
And I think they're all about, you know, getting what they can out of people. Whatever it is. So this is a direct, you know, line from, you know, Waller to what they're doing now. This is, you know, we don't care about, you know, what you've done, but if we can use you, we're going to use you. I think that's what they're doing with Judo Master.
Do you think that he has stipulated in his contract that he will be partially paid in hot Cheetos?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Erin, what food would you take as partial payment for your contract?
This is going to be very specific. Oh, boy. If we're going snack foods, I want Trader Joe's chili lime pork rinds.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Pork rinds.
Yeah.
You're the second person that I know who lives by the pork rinds.
Specifically the chili lime ones. Regular pork rinds, take it or leave it. But
okay.
Trader Joe's does something special with their snacks.
I'm going to go for like something like avocados or figs because they're getting expensive.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe?
oh man, it for snacks purposes, I would have to say Haitian pate moru over in pate.
Okay.
Like codfish patties or herring patties.
Okay. All right.
You pay me in that, then you know I'm your guy. I got you.
All right. Oh, I wonder if you would like the herring. Herring's very popular here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I know.
Hmm. Do you guys have any thoughts on our original universe? What are you expecting to see next week?
Let me just really quick correct something I said. I was thinking okay. Midnighter when we were talking Wildcat.
Oh,
so Wildcat
okay.
definitely okay. is not part of the Authority. I was okay. thinking Midnighter in that moment, but is a part of the JSA, Justice Society of America, from Earth 2.
Okay. So he could very well be a player.
Yeah, I think so. I think he could be a definite player here.
All right. And what else do you hope or think or suspect might be coming next week?
Well, I think we're going to get some people get, you know, killed. Because they're going to assault or try to capture Chris.
Mm.
And I don't think everybody's making it out. I'm hoping Flurry survives this next episode. And I don't think we'll go back to Earth 2 in this episode. I don't think okay. we'll go back to Earth 2 in this episode. But what I want to see is if there are indeed other heroes on Earth 2, other superpowered beings.
Well, I'll say, so this is a spoiler warning for anyone who doesn't want to know, but this was something James Gunn said on the official podcast. He said in episode 4, we will learn about the QUC, the quantum unfolding chamber. We will learn,
awesome.
I guess, where it comes from, what it is, basically.
Cool.
So, we know, of course, Argus is about to break down Chris's door. We see in the trailer, he and Eagly go on the run, and it seems like he has some sort of portable, I don't know, maybe he will dabble in the other universe. I don't know. What do you think, Aaron?
I'm going to take a completely opposite approach. I think he's going to step outside his door and find a bunch of federal agents pointing guns at him, and he's going to have to turn tail and run back to that Earth 2. I think
Eagly?
He might be immediately forced back. Hopefully with Eagly. If he doesn't take Eagly with him, I'm going to be pretty mad. Can't leave him there with that eagle hunter.
No, I guess he doesn't know it's specifically an eagle hunter, but yeah. Maybe all the eagle feathers around his neck is a good tip off.
Yes. I also think that Economos is going to end up warning someone about it. I don't know if it's going to be Vigilante. I don't know if it'll be Adebayo, but I do think that he will feel some sort of moral pull, some obligation to warn Peacemaker's friends about what's about to go down.
Yeah. Even if he's doesn't want to lose his job, but I think friendship will prevail.
What do you think's coming in the next episode?
Things coming. I don't know if they'll go back to the other universe. I think that the action is going to start to pick up more. I think we are going to get some more fights in the coming episodes. I think that they are playing coy in the advertising to keep a lot of things a secret. Apparently, this season, they were much more guarded about, like, I saw an interview with Nutley on, I think, on New Rock Stars. Nutley being the actor who plays Judo Master, and he was saying that they were much more secretive this season about the scripts and everything. Like, they would have redacted scenes and just a lot more, like, getting their scripts just before filming, things like that. So I don't know. It seems like they're holding their cards close to their chest, and I'm very curious about what they're going to look like when they're played. Well, 5 episodes left, so we're not even halfway. Yay! Next week's halfway. again, they drop on HBO Max on Thursday evenings or Fridays, and we don't get screeners, so look out for the episodes on Sundays or Mondays. And next week's title is Need I Say Door? So that suggests they might. Well, I guess we know that obviously Argus is chasing that door technology, quantum unfolding chamber, but I guess maybe it'll play a role. Do check out our show notes for previous DCU and DCEU coverage that we have done. And Marvel fans, you can find our episodes for Ironheart, Fantastic Four First Steps. We're going to do Eyes of Wakanda, I swear. We're going to talk about it.
It's all my fault.
No, it's, yeah, always this stuff, life stuff going on. And we've been prioritizing Peacemaker since it's a weekly coverage, so... but you were excitedly sharing the Marvel Zombies trailer the Discord.
How fucking awesome was that? Excuse me. Oh, yeah. Lord. That was, woo. You know, I was excited for it to come out because I thought the story is cool. But mm-hmm. seeing the animation for this, it's rapidly risen into my top three things that I want to watch at the end of this year for the following months. It just looks amazing. It looks amazing.
And everyone's talking online, especially about Blade Knight showing up as a variant of Moon Knight that is also Blade. So we're finally amazing. Getting Blade.
Amazing.
In a just way.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. I'm very excited for this. It's going to be four episodes again in October, and then the whole Wonder Man series in December. We'll find out more. Aaron, what's going on in Radioactive Ramblings?
We are currently talking about what Studio Ghibli movie we're going to do next. So stay tuned for that news. But the big thing coming is going to be Gen V. We're doing full coverage of that. We'll have weekly episodes out breaking it down and talking about what worked and what didn't. We're hoping that Gen V is going to step it up after the last season of The Boys. It was a little self-indulgent in the last season of The Boys, but Gen V, if the first season is any indication, we have a good season ahead of us.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Stay excited.
Yeah. As you're saying, it has more heart.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to season two. And yeah, it did so definitely, it was definitely crossing over with The Boys, but I at this point, I'm more into these characters.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Mm. Do check out the link tree in the show notes with links to radio. Well, you'll find a Radioactive Ramblings link directly, but in the link tree, you'll find the other affiliate podcasts like Nevermind the Music or Psychology Meets Music, Properly Howard. I think they're almost done now with their bacon wrapped season. So you've got plenty to catch up on. We'll Shift Dust doing Dune, the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Star Wars canon in timeline order. And then also on the Lorehound's main feed, what do we got going on, John?
Oh, we have Foundation Season 3 coverage with John and Marilyn. Let me just say Dusk. That's it.
Yeah.
Just Dusk. then we also have David, who's leading weekly coverage of Alien Earth, which is, man, smashing.
Yeah.
What a great show both of those things are.
We got like an entire Alien movie this week.
Yeah, that was incredible. And then we have the Emmy prep episode dropping this week as well.
Yeah, so watch out for that. It's the Sunday after that is the Emmys, and we're going to be talking about the major categories of nominations, which of our shows that we talk about are nominated and all that fun stuff. If you have any feedback about Peacemaker, about DC, Marvel, whatever, please send it to comicsvs@thelorehounds.com. You'll find that linked in the show notes. And you'll also find on the Discord, in the link tree in the show notes, a forum with spoiler chats per movie or DC show per episode of Peacemaker under current shows right now. And if you're listening later, you'll find it under franchises. Thank you, first of all, to all of our listeners. You are a huge help to us. If you want to help us even more for free, then you can do that by simply sharing this episode with anyone else who is enjoying Peacemaker or should be enjoying Peacemaker, who you think would enjoy our conversations. about Peacemaker. We'd also love your ratings and reviews wherever you're listening, especially if they're positive, obviously. And yeah, just thank you so much. You know, word of mouth is the best way for us to grow, and ratings and reviews is the best way to tell the algorithm that maybe more people might like to listen to us as well. If you are able to contribute and want a bit extra out of listening to the Lorehounds, then you'll get ad-free access to all of our episodes on Supercast and Patreon Plus. Bonus content, like extra episodes for a bunch of shows. Like Jean, you and David just did an extra episode talking about Alien Earth.
Yeah, we did a quick What You Watching on Alien Earth, which was a lot of fun. So yeah, check that out. And it's you know, just a quick synopsis on why I love Alien Earth so much.
And David's also, I think, just released a video breakdown of what he expects to be coming up this season. I know he has other episodes planned, and I think there's even going to be a belated Alien Earth season pass for anyone who prefers that. But if you have the monthly subscription, you get all those things. You get more What You're Watching. You get the Second Breakfast and 11Z's this month. 11Z's Movie Club is Airplane. And by this month, I mean, that's actually the August one. But we are about to, I think we're going to record Airplane tomorrow and select. It's John's month for September. We don't even know what his list is going to be, but there will be voting for the movie. All right. So I'm going to do my big thank yous to the people who keep this whole thing afloat. And I have pulled a song from the Synthwave folder in honor of the peace cycle. This is Asphalt. All right. We're chilling. We're grooving. We're driving. Thank you to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Doove71, Athena, Ajalea, Lestu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian. And thank you especially, thank you to all of our subscribers. Thank you most of all to our lore masters, our highest tier, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Doove71, Brian8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andra B, Kwang Yu, Jedi Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dali V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K, Bobby C, Jessica H, Red Zippy, The TCS, and always last, Adrian. All right. John, what do you have to say?
To Kevin Feige, it's September the 6th. Now would be the perfect time to just let us know that T'Challa has been recast and that Damson Idris is T'Challa.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.